The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
How old are you, young man? And blow your nose. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to begin with our impact segment, as we do every hour, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. We're actually going to invite you to call the program as well. Call-in numbers are always the same. 888-528-2557. Before I share the topic, and I suspect when I do share it, you'll have an instant reaction. It will be, oh, I have something to say about that. Or there may be some of you, really? You're bringing this up again? And I would suspect there's a whole mixture of folks in the middle that may or may not have their minds made up. So before I get specific, let me tell you, last night, I prepare for the show, reading articles, commentaries. I'm a book reader. I'm reading six books at a time. I just read a chapter here, chapter there, because my mind wanders. Reading Albert Mohler's book, something about the storm on the horizon or something. It's all about culture and what's happening. And there's some very powerful things that Albert Mohler shares in his book. And then it hits me last night when I'm reading about next week, the impeachment, and is he going to testify? Is he not? And I just, hold on, don't change the channel yet. Hear me out. I started thinking about how over just a few weeks, when it comes to this idea of election fraud, I have resigned myself to, well, that's over, let's move on. In reading a commentary and then an article on some things that have come to light, it dawned on me, where was I? How is it that I was so quick to let go of something that, here's the truth, and here's why, where I hope that you will at least see this perspective. If something did happen, if it's not addressed, not only could it happen again, but it kind of endangers the whole process. I'm not even going to get into tens of millions of people that believe something did happen and what impact it has on them if nothing is done about this. Right? So we're going to take your calls for impact, and if this is something you want to talk about and share about, we'll take your calls for more than impact. If not, we've got other stories and topics we can get into as well. But I'll say this, and then I'll read the op-ed piece and then the article, and we'll take your calls. Phone lines are open, 888-528-2557. And as I thought about it last night, and what the epiphany was, I just so easily let all of this go, like bought into, yeah, it's over. He's not president anymore. We have a new president. I still get emails. Do you, Mr. Whiny Pants, do you acknowledge Joe Biden as our president? Yeah, he's our president. He's an awful president, but and I pray for him, but my goodness. But I was so quick to give up this election fraud idea. And I'm not sure why that is. And I'm praying about it. I have my suspicions now. But let me read a few things to you. And then if you want to comment, please call 888-528-2557. The first is an op-ed piece. It's entitled Separating the Question of Election Fraud from Conspiracy Madness and the Insurrection. Now that in and of itself, catchy headline. It's like, well, let's read a little bit more of that. And I oftentimes read from Michael Brown's commentaries because he's very thought-provoking. Michael Brown writes this, as we are now 3 months out from the elections and almost 1 month removed from the incident at the Capitol, we can step back, catch our breath, and reassess where we stand. Emotions are calming down, the news cycle is less intense, and fanatical voices are being separated from reasonable voices. Yet one thing remains constant. Millions of fair-minded Americans still believe there was serious election fraud. This is an issue that simply will not disappear. These people are not wild-eyed white supremacists. To the contrary, they are as mortified as anyone over the events of January the 6th. They cannot simply be dismissed as cult-like followers of Trump, people whose reasoning powers have atrophied. Nor can they be written off as unhinged conspiracy theorists, as many of them are, have never read a, I still don't know how to pronounce that, Quanon, QAnon, whatever, post in their lives. I'm going to be corrected right now. I saw that the young man in the other room, they're about to jump on the mic. Oh, I got it. It's QAnon, evidently. Okay, whatever that is. I have no idea. Yet they still have serious concerns about the trustworthiness of our electoral process. And the more the mainstream media states that there is zero evidence of voter fraud, the more determined they become. Brown writes, I stated on December the 4th of last year that I'm personally agnostic as to the claims of massive voter fraud. But that was not because all the claims of fraud struck me as specious. Instead, it was because I did not have the time or the expertise or the burden to analyze the claims in depth so as to make a determination of my own. As for the final outcome of the election, I decided early on to trust our court system and Congress, and so I recognized Joe Biden as our president. At the same time, while I understand that it was the belief that the election was stolen which provoked the storming of the Capitol, it's also very clear that plenty of rational, law-abiding, thinking Americans remain convinced that wide-scale fraud was undeniable. Part of this came to a head during Senator Rand Paul's interview with George Stephanopoulos, when Paul refused to accept the quote-unquote fact that the election was stolen. Instead, Paul stated, quote, well, what I would say is that the debate over whether or not there was fraud should occur. We never had any presentation in court. Most of the cases were thrown out for lack of standing, a procedural way of not hearing it, end quote. Others, of course, believe that it is not true and that cases were thrown out by the courts because of lack of evidence or poor evidence. You can do the research and decide for yourself on that one. Brown writes, what is clear, though, is that Senator Paul is neither a Trump hack nor a right-wing extremist, yet he, too, could not agree with the mainstream media's outright dismissal of claims of fraud. Columnist Stu Sirk shared that election fraud drum needs to be banged until every American is aware of what happened in the 2020 elections. He says the implications are profound for future elections. And indeed, for every future action by federal and state governments. For if elections can be stolen with impunity, then we are no longer living in a constitutional republic subject to the will of the people. Rather, we're living in a government corporate oligarchy, as aptly described in a wonderful commentary by Angelo Codevilla, and the only way to resurrect our republic is to slay the election fraud dragon. Lastly, these concerns will not be swept under the rug, which is why I suggested in early December that Joe Biden should lead the way in calling for a full-scale investigation of all charges of fraud. Let the whole truth come to light. In the end, how could it hurt to do so? But now that the dust has settled and almost all Americans are not expecting Biden or Harris to be removed from office as a result of election results being overturned, is there a way for these questions to be answered? Or if it is too late to properly examine the details of the 2020 election, what can be done to regain voter confidence for 2022 and 2024? To repeat, these are questions that will not easily go away. That's Dr. Michael Brown. 888-528-2557. How say you? Do you suspect something happened that wasn't on the up and up? Is this something that you've spent a lot of time exhausting yourself with all sorts of the pursuit of different links and videos? Is this something when you hear me even make mention of, you get a little queasy like, oh, please stop talking about this. This is over and done. Or maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're not sure. Now, for me, I can only state what I think is important for me to discuss, and you're obviously also a big part of this as well. If you think this is a non-issue, don't call. If you think this is something worth talked about, we have wide open phone boards, 888-528-2557. Now, for those of you that may err on the side of nothing occurred, let me share something that is also an article that Michael Brown made reference to, who does the byline. His name is Stu Sirk. So what Stu decided to do, he decided to look into election lawsuits and the facts around the lawsuits. This is very interesting. Some information I suspect you've never heard of. Sirk writes, toward the end, public consciousness about election fraud must be raised. I took a shot at laying out all the information on previous articles that include links to dozens of sources documenting what I believe are actual fraud. A key contributor to the article was Mensa physicist John Droz Jr., who led a team that conducted statistical analysis of ballots in several swing states in order to determine where anomalies existed that warranted further detailed forensic analysis of ballots cast and counted. He has subsequently written his own summary about the legacy media's disregard for and mischaracterization of election lawsuits. His commentary provides the remainder of focus for this particular article. Here is in part what he had to say. It is beyond exasperating to keep hearing the cacophony of chicanery about the 2020 presidential election-related lawsuits. The message we hear over and over again from the media and the left to the public is that there were no consequential 2020 presidential election malfeasance, irregularities, or illegalities, supposedly because the courts objectively and thoroughly investigated those claims and ruled them to be unfounded. Neither element of that assertion is even remotely true. Let me stop down. We have two lines open. 888-528-2557. If you'd like to weigh in on voter fraud, you thought there was some. What should we do? This is a non-issue. Anything you want to share, please call. We have two open lines, 888-528-2557. We got a call the other day. Man didn't get on the air, and he was like, what's your deal over this? They never found any evidence. Stop bringing it up. So Stu Sirk, again, took it upon himself to look into the evidence as it applies to the lawsuits that were filed. So let's get into it. You may be shocked at what you're about to hear. To counter the later part of a false narrative, again, that nothing was found and everything was thrown out, a team of independent, unpaid volunteers and scientists and engineers recently put together a list of lawsuits involving the 2020 presidential elections. In it, we found there were issues at stake and how each case was treated by the courts, what evidence was objectively analyzed, who won and who lost. Sirk writes, we tried to walk a narrow line of not only having a comprehensive list, but also information easy enough for the public to understand. For example, since none of us are attorneys, we consciously tried to avoid unnecessary legal jargon. To further assist in the understanding of this important list, we simplified 20-plus pages of filings and decisions on each case into a one- or two-sentence summary. If we didn't do justice to any of these, please let me know and I'll issue an update, he writes. Another idea we implemented was to color code the decisions to make it easy for the reader to segregate the various outcomes. Lastly, we passed this list by over a dozen lawyers involved with election-related lawsuits. This is what we found, and to begin with, our list shows that there have been 75 lawsuits filed that are relevant to the 2020 presidential election. The results to date are 8 cases have been withdrawn or consolidated. These are not wins or losses to either side. 25 cases have been stopped from proceeding, either dismissed due to legal technicalities, standing, timing, jurisdiction. These have nothing to do with the merits of the case and should also not be considered wins or losses for either side. That more than a third of the lawsuits were not allowed to proceed to an evidentiary hearing is more of an indictment that many judges appear to be afraid, possibly, of opening this Pandora's box. Considering the importance of election integrity to our country, it's a shame for them to hide behind subjective legal technicalities. How is that in the interest of the citizens of our country? In any case, that leaves us with 42 cases, lawsuits, relevant to the 2020 presidential election where a judge has ruled, or hopefully will rule soon, on the merits. These are the results so far. 19 cases are completed and adjudicated. These are where the court heard arguments, considered evidence where applicable, and then formally ruled on statutory issues. In other words, the legality of a state's election process. Of these, 11 cases were won by Trump and the legal experts that filed. 8 cases were lost by former President Trump and his lawyers. 23 cases are still active and have not been yet decided, so the ultimate winner or loser of these cases has not been determined. Note that despite all the noise about fraud, only 3 of these lawsuits materially dealt with voter illegalities. Citizens voting twice, votes from deceased people, etc. Interestingly, all 3 of these cases are still open. Further, just 3 lawsuits addressed voting machine inaccuracies, purposeful or accidental. One of these was dismissed due to jurisdiction. One was ruled against, although no discovery was granted, and one is still open. Discovery was granted. The likely explanation for so few cases in these 2 areas is that legally proving fraud or voter machine manipulations are very time-consuming processes that require substantial investigative work and documentation. There simply wasn't enough time to do this prior to keep points in the process. Additionally, it is likely that any machine algorithms would be erased by the time a forensic investigation takes place. Finally, our view is that the public needs to be better educated regarding the election integrity issue, and having a more accurate understanding of lawsuit component is a key part of that. Stu Sirk served 30 years in the U.S. Navy in a variety of active and reserve capacities, and wrote this piece. 888-528-2557. We'll take some calls. We have one line open. And by the way, I just received this news story about this topic. Wait to hear this. And I don't know if this has gotten much media attention. And I literally have to check this on the break for attribution. Because if this is true, well, I'll share it with you in a few moments. Katie in Torrance. Katie, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I am so happy that you're talking about this, because this issue, even though I'm extremely disappointed in the results, the fact that I feel like the election was very fraudulent and that the president sitting there now was not the one who actually won, that leaves me with this such a sense of like hopelessness and anger. And I've never felt this way before. And I feel like the fraud didn't get the attention that it should have. Of course, the mainstream media isn't going to give it. And that the everything that had to be done to really investigate it, I mean, there was testimonies of people. There was so much evidence in so many places, and it just got pushed aside. And so I've got this hopeless feeling, like, how are we going to go forward with elections? I have no faith in the election. So it's a really terrible feeling for me. I can accept if somebody won and they won legitimately, but I don't feel that that was the case. And so I feel like it's just kind of gone away and no one's talking about it. And they're, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, well, I'm so happy that you're talking about it, and it can't go away, and it has to be, I don't want to say resurrected, but we have to give it more attention, and we have to find out what we're going to do in the future, because some Democrats like Pelosi and stuff are saying, well, this is the way it always has to be now.
Well, and then keep in mind, to be fair, it can go both ways. I mean, I'm becoming less and less a fan of the lack of spine that a lot of longtime Republicans showed over the last few months. So if we have a problem of integrity in the election process, regardless of who can manipulate it, I just think it needs to be addressed. Katie, thank you for your call. And again, I'm being really honest. About 3 weeks ago, for whatever reasons, I just kind of let it go. I thought, well, you know, okay, Trump's gone. Biden's a new president. Pray for him. And it's our role, in my estimation, to question any policies, any legislation that is passed now that is against the Constitution, against our beliefs as Christians. I mean, we need to make our voices known. But the whole election fraud thing, I just kind of let it go. And then last night I had this epiphany. What was I thinking? This is an important issue, at least from my perspective. Denise in Montrose. Denise, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. And I agree with the prior caller. I just was going to say ditto. And it's so funny that you brought this up. Maybe 30 minutes ago, I just hung up from talking to the California Office of Register of Voters, and I asked them specifically if they were going to offer us any legitimate alternative to Dominion machines, and they said no.
Were you surprised by that response?
No, but the conversation that I had with the young woman on the phone left me just frustrated, because she said that since 2003, we've been using Dominion machines in California, so therefore, by length of no objection since 2003, obviously, there's been no problem.
Well, nobody says anything, so we just kind of, we'll go with a system that may or may not be on the up and up. Yeah, that line of logic is very noteworthy. Denise, thank you. Susan in Redlands, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Susan.
Frank, thank you so much. As a legal professional, I watched some of the hearings about the election irregularities. And even though I couldn't watch all of the hearings, I felt, not that I felt, I believed that the testimony was very compelling. And I believe that the courts failed to do their jobs and dismiss these cases out of hand on technicalities without even getting to the substance. The statute of limitations, I still don't understand that as a legal professional. The election was just done November 3rd. Cases were filed immediately. What are they talking about statute of limitations? I do criminal, and there's at least a year of statute of limitations. But, of course, that's criminal. I don't know about the other type of case law. You know, this thing about standing, I believe there was standing for some of those who brought these lawsuits. I'm just thoroughly disgusted. I'm thoroughly disgusted because we've been let down by the courts. And I feel like the other caller, where I'm feeling helpless and hopeless. And it's like, what do we do? And they say, well, you know, the elections are coming in 2022 or something. I'm like, what's the point when the Dominion voting machines, based on the experts that were testifying at these hearings, are saying that these votes were being switched and that some people were seeing it happen in real time? And I'm disgusted with the mainstream media and how they suppress the truth. And I just pray, Frank, that the truth will come out. I have children, and I'm concerned for the future of this nation, of my children. I don't know what to do, Frank. Yeah. I really don't. As a legal professional, I'm just stunned.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for your call, Susan, and I thank you. And obviously, we need to keep praying. I just, last night when I realized that I checked out on this issue, I'm like, what happened to me? I actually, to be real honest, I just kind of gave up. But then sometimes, like being hit in the face with a slap of cold water, it's like, wait, where have I been? Almost akin to the understanding and the insight of when we have gone through a season of maybe spiritual attack, where Satan's lying to us so much that we believed it, and we just kind of went, okay. And then we have a moment where, whether it's divine intervention or just your own being saying, hey, right? Your soul, I don't want to be theologically inaccurate here, but almost as if your soul is crying out, hey, you know, there's truth here, and we need to fight for truth. Susan talks about eyewitnesses. Look, there were 1,700 affidavits of eyewitnesses, and we're just going to go with the mainstream media. Oh, I guess they're all liars. It defies logic. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. And there is a story out of Detroit, Michigan. I'm going to read it to you. First, I'm going to check it on the break to make sure it's legitimate. If it is, this may just be another opportunity to get really frustrated or maybe get really upset, because wait till you hear this. And your calls as well are next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. A couple of points of interest. I'm never surprised on this program. And then I'm surprised. Now, when I began even praying about the idea of bringing up, discussing, was there election fraud, was there not, I suspected there'd be a whole mix. You know, for those that are absolutely convinced something went down that wasn't right, to the other side, people, just time to move on, and a lot of people in the middle. But I will tell you this, in terms of interest, I thought it would be kind of somewhere, anywhere from little to some. Well, the board is jammed, and I'm getting emails that I can't read fast enough. So we'll take more calls, and then I did have an opportunity to check this story out of Detroit, Michigan. And there are a number of sources that give attribution. So wait to hear this one. I'll save it for the end of this segment. It is unbelievable, but as the story goes, it's actually very believable. Let's try to, who's been on hold? I'll just go down the line here. Lee in La Mirada. Lee, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Oh, hello, Frank. How you doing?
Good, Lee. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. I get your show every now and then, and by all means, I like, sometimes I don't always agree with you, but I like your enthusiasm and your drive, so that helps me listen to you every now and then. So my statement, I'm not so sure about the election, but as we move on, I kind of believe that sooner or later, us as a nation need to be on the same page. Hopefully get on the same page, because we're going through a virus, among other things. And in this country, we know that a house divided against itself won't stand.
Yep.
And I kind of believe that slowly but surely our leaders, including broadcasters, we can go with the legislature, Supreme Court, of course, definitely the our president and his cabinet, but I kind of believe that sooner or later we all need to get on the same page about something. Because if we don't, we, you know, for us to be what's considered the powerless country in the world, we can't do that with to its fullest if we don't be on the same page as far as moving forward.
Yeah,
Move forward in the Lord.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. I have absolutely no difference with what you're saying, and I validate it times a million. That's the sentiment, and I'm grateful you said at the end, in the Lord above all. Here's a question for you, just interested in your thoughts.
Sure.
What if we woke up tomorrow and President Biden said, look, we've had enough of this election fraud, and did it happen, didn't it happen? We're going to open an investigation and figure this out once and for all. If there was something that went down that wasn't right, we're going to make it right. And my thought is, why don't we? I think that would be the answer of all answers. It would silence the people that are convinced that something bad happened. It would assuage those that would say, oh, just move on. It would make us better as a country. If we've got something that's wrong or something to cover up, it's going to make us weaker, not stronger as a nation.
Okay, I like that. I would say to that when we're, and this is me from a Christian standpoint.
Sure.
When we're dealing with man, we're dealing with fleshly man.
Oh, yeah.
All of his decisions are not going to be correct. We know that.
For sure.
We know, although we are supposed to live by the law of the land and we do the best that we can, we put the Lord first to before even our country, period. That's just the way we do. But we know it's not going to go well. It's not going to go perfect. I'm supportive of anything that's in the line of the Lord. I'm for anything that's going to put us in the same track, on the same page again, if possible. But if not, I take it to the Lord first.
Yeah, well.
And once I take it to the Lord, whatever I don't agree with, I'll put it in the Lord's hands first, and I'm with you. I would be a little concerned, but not to the point where it's going to divide us as a nation.
Yeah, I well said. Again, I agree with everything you shared. Rarely do I agree with everything someone says. So thank you for calling and for sharing. I was just speaking from a non-Christian view. Right? Like, you know, the president. Presidents aren't pastors and they don't necessarily have a Christian worldview, but I agree with you. Above all, that's where our focus should be. So well said, Lee, and I hope and pray we talk again. Thank you for calling today. Rosie in San Dimas. Rosie, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, happy Friday. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you, Rosie?
I'm doing really good, thanks. I'm doing okay, let's just put it that way. I want to say that I believe, I have hope, and I love God, and I continue to pray for peace. And I know peace in our nation, peace in my heart, you know, because I really, truly feel that our freedoms are at stake here, and we have to keep talking about it. We have to keep bringing it up, because we're being shut down everywhere, and we're made... Our conservative views are being, you know, we're being looked at as crazy kooks, but we're not. I mean, we're standing behind the truth. And we all know there was fraud. It's so plain and obvious. But we're just being pushed off to the side and squashed and, you know, everywhere. Facebook is what they did to poor Mike Lindell the other day. I don't know if you saw that, but... You know, he's just made to seem like a kook, and we're all kind of falling into that, I think.
Well, let me jump in. We're up against a break, and your connection is kind of waning. I appreciate your call. I thank you for it. A couple of thoughts. There is a narrative being pushed forth that, let's just say, has a vested interest in only pushing forth that narrative. So if you, in any way, shape, or form, disagree with that narrative, you're either minimized, marginalized, or completely shut down. I hesitate to say the positive. I think the proper response is we need to stand up, push back, and stand for the truth. and let the chips fall away where they may. I love the expression, come what may. Like the church, this is such an opportunity for the church to stand up. Like Lee was talking about from a scriptural, biblical perspective, man, the church can really shine in this hour because it seems that we are turning more and more away from God, if you will. And if the church would be winsome and adamant about sharing the truth of Christ, I mean, what a time. I also would, the idea of if you disagree, you know, you're just all a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists. I just give that to them. That's just anybody with a modicum of intelligence sees right through that one. Of course, people are from all walks of life with all sorts of views in life, with all sorts of differences, you know, contrary to something like identity politics. Thank you for the call, Rosie. All right, I don't mean to drag it out, but we are late for a break and I haven't got to the story. So when I come back, the very first thing, I will read you the story out of Detroit. It is absolutely mind-boggling. And if you're concerned about suspicious things that go bump in the night, wait till you hear this story that they have now documented as true that happened late night, early morning in Detroit. More of the Frank Sontag Show and your phone calls next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to read the story in literally 30 seconds. We're getting emails. Hey, have you heard about Mike Lindell's documentary? Yes, I have. I just got an email, the three-hour documentary. The one I was forwarded is a two-hour documentary. I think OAN is running it with a disclaimer. So, yeah, Mike Lindell is out there, and he claims he has proof. I've not seen the actual documentary, but for those of you wanting to make it known to us, thank you. We are on that. All right, so election evening in Detroit, there were some stories about some suspicious activity. Listen to this. Tuesday evening, November the 3rd, President Donald Trump was ahead of Joe Biden in the swing state of Michigan by over 100,000 votes. It appeared to be another solid win in Michigan with a greater margin than 2016. The ballot counting in Detroit on election night took place at TCF Center, formerly known as Cobo Hall. This is the site where Detroit city officials put cardboard over the windows, where poll workers reportedly were militantly hostile to GOP observers, and where hundreds of affidavits by election observers claim they witnessed voter fraud. At least three election observers testified in sworn affidavits that they witnessed vehicles delivering fraudulent ballots to the center early in the morning of November the 4th. An individual named Shane Trejo said he, I'm assuming it's a man, witnessed at 3:30 in the morning a ballot drop. At least 50 boxes were unloaded from a truck. He said, I saw it, and I will swear by it. He testified. He noticed on the truck, City of Detroit Clerk's Office and its emblem were written on the white van that showed up with the ballots. City Clerk Janice Winfrey's name was on the van and a number presumably for the office. Trejo says the ballots could not be processed when they arrived, so by the time they were counted, a new shift of poll workers had come in for the day. By the way, after they did that count, that's when Joe Biden took the lead in Michigan. Okay, now hang on. Shane Trejo explained the timing. He said when they dropped off in the middle of the night, there was a shift change. The ballots were left uncounted. So when the new shift came on to count ballots, they didn't know where the ballots came from. Trejo has repeatedly said and insisted he saw what he saw and it was suspicious. Former Michigan State Senator Pat Kolbeck, also present at the TFC on the morning of November 4th, also witnessed the 3:30 a.m. ballot drop from the white van. Kolbeck said, I went back there and I witnessed a mini panel truck, if you will, with a Detroit Election Bureau regalia all over the side and a vehicle ID number on it. inside of it, and this gets into some chain of custody discussions. There was no indication that there was a Republican or a Democrat president during the transfer of these ballot boxes. So what's the big story? Somebody got a hold of the many hours of video footage. They actually now have the video footage of the actual truck dropping the ballots off. Listen to this. At 3:23, the video of a white van registered to the city of Detroit entered the gate into the TFC Center. 3:25, they discovered a second camera showing three individuals unloading over 50 boxes of ballots in the hallway. The ballots were then wheeled away on carts into the ballot counting room. The van is then seen on video leaving the center about 25 minutes later. Then we saw the van returning an hour later, entering the center, again unloading more boxes of ballots. The white van was escorted by a black sports car for both ballot deliveries. The white van was allowed through an electric gate to enter the TFC complex. So what is this? Well, it's video proof that this is what happened in the middle of the night. Now, you may say, well, maybe the ballots were legal and, well, you know, that doesn't prove anything. What it proves is now we have on video footage the actual white van, because there's been such denial. Nothing happened in the middle of the night. That's just absurd, on and on and on. And why, I want to say why this story isn't front page news. Well, first of all, we don't have newspapers anymore, so there's no front page news. Second of all, the media is all controlled by the left anyway. So why would they report something that surely looks like this was a ballot drop-off in the middle of the night that happened twice, and they have it all on video footage now? All right. Gus in Los Angeles. Gus, we're going to come back. If you have your radio on, turn it down. Ruben and Downey. Ruben, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank.
Hi, Ruben.
Yes, sir. My comment is that I wish we would just let it go. The electoral votes make the choice. When we went with President Trump last time, we looked at the electoral votes, and they said who won.
We're not sure. Time out. We're not debating who won. We're debating or throwing out for discussion if we have a problem with the election process, should we not look into it for future elections?
Okay, but I mean, we're bringing up stuff.
You're not answering my question. Just answer my question.
No, say it again, Frank.
We're not debating who is the president. Joe Biden is the president. Donald Trump is not. That's already been decided by the electoral process and everything else that happened. The question on the table, though, is if something happened by which there was manipulation or fraud, if we don't look into it, what about future elections?
But we're just going around in circles.
How are we going around in circles? Please help me understand that logic or lack thereof.
It's already settled. It's like spilt milk.
You're not hearing me. It is already settled, but I'm talking and asking you about future elections. If there was wrongdoing, if somehow the system was manipulated, if we don't address that, what about future elections? Enough of it's spilt milk already. Yes, it's already been established. We've already decided. But I'm asking you about 2022, 2024. If we use the same system and we don't really look into possible anomalies, is that okay with you?
Do we trust our system or do we not trust our system?
Evidently, there's lots of people that don't trust it. I'm arguing, let's just look into it and see if it is trustworthy or not. And if it's not, let's make it right.
And the thing is, I would hope for peace.
Okay.
Not going over stuff and over causing more situations, Frank.
Causing That's more situations.
I mean, the situations like the Capitol, the situations that came up.
Yeah, and you believe that somehow... Go ahead.
People believing that our system is not able to do what needs to be done.
And our system is not able to do what needs to be done. I have no idea what that means. Thank you, Gus. I'm sorry. Thank you, Ruben. All right, so we've got a break here. For those of you in San Diego, Lord willing, we'll be back Monday. For those of you that stay on here in Los Angeles, hour number two is upon us. And we may or may not revisit this. There's some people on hold. We will see where this goes. For those of you in San Diego, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. This is the Frank Sontag Show.